Zeal to do good. That's what should be in the mind and the heart of every Christian, especially when our freedom of religion and freedom of speech are threatened. If you do it to one organization, sooner or later, it's going to come your turn. So Christians must stand firm, and they must have that zeal. That means a drive to do what is right under any set of circumstances. How precious it is to love and serve the living God. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the 25th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs 25. I'm sorry, 24. Make that read Proverbs 24. And Proverbs 24, verse 1 reads, "Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them." It should never be your desire, and certainly this word, envious, kana in the Hebrew, and it means to be zealous with them. And it means you can be zealous for good or bad. And you've got a lot of people that are very zealous for what's bad. And that makes the zeal of the Christian all the more important, to choose what is right. And not only to choose, but to do what is right in the plan of God, to bring forth that plan that is salvation, meaning it saves souls around the world. Verse 2, "For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief." They plan wickedness. They plan to get ahead by whatever means is necessary. Verse 3, "Through wisdom," or by wisdom, "is an house builded." You've got to know what you're doing. "And by understanding, it is established." I mean, it is set in place. It takes knowledge, understanding, skill, and wisdom. Verse 4, "And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches." That means things, goods. It's full of goods and that are useful to your everyday family life, but also to serving God. And you think in that realm. You think of God's house. You think of God's work and what part you have in it, because after all, you're His child. And when you're His child, you should care about His house because it's yours. It's a part of you. And naturally, you should, if that's ever threatened, your zeal should really rise to the occasion. Verse 5, "A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength." His power grows. And truth gives one power. Not many people understand that, I think, but knowledge, especially in God's Word, is power. It gives you authority, but where does that power come from? It always comes from God. He sees that you receive those blessings that you need to be successful. And when you serve Him, He hears you. He knows you. He's not going to let you down. Oh, the world might let you down, but He doesn't pick wimps. He picks people that can take names and kick dragons. They can take care of themselves, and God always backs them up. Verse 6, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety." That is to say, counselors that have the truth. You can have counselors that are zealous to do wrong. So true wisdom comes in who you place around you, whether it's your family, whether it's your city, your county, your state, or your entire government. Where do you get your counsel from? If you want God's blessings, it had better be from Him. And it had better be events that align with this Word of God if you want His blessings. Otherwise, you'll get what you deserve. And that is, it'll be hard shakes and hard times. But yet, in that light of one that has zeal to do what is good, God knows them. He protects them. And he sees that they fare pretty well because they use this, the gray matter that God gives them. And then he adds the blessings onto that. Verse 7, wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. In other words, when it comes to deliberating a truth, you're not going to have a fool there, or you better not have, or you'll become, if you're a bigger fool than he is if you listen to a fool. Okay. Verse 8, he that deviseth, that plans to do evil, shall be called a mischievous person. In other words, you can count on it. They're easy to spot. Okay. Father has them spotted long before you do, even. Always have a zeal to do what is right in your own life, in your community, in your nation. Verse 9. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. A scoffer, handout, don't care to work. I'll just take whatever I can get. I expect everyone to make my living for me. I mean, tax the living daylights out of them and just give me everything I need. Okay. That's a scoffer. It's called a sluggard. It's called a lazy person. God has no use for them. And you can't listen to them. You have to use common sense. Wisdom must always prevail if what? If you want God's blessings. That's what's so ever important. That's what makes this nation so great. Is it has had the blessings of Almighty God to bring it from a wilderness to a great nation. But great nations are kept in place by great people. People with zeal. People with zeal to do what is good, what is right. Verse 10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. In other words, if adversity takes you down, your strength is kind of small. Why? You don't have it in the Father. You see, when you're weakest, you get more strength from Him. And until you know that and believe it, He'll leave you hanging out on a limb. It's called correction. The correction factor. Until you come into line to love Him and depend on Him for that strength. And if you let some little old adversity take you down, you didn't have the right zeal to get it done. Therefore, Father wants you to be strong because He wants you to know where you draw your strength from. You draw it from Him. Verse 11. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, any person that would go that way. 12. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not. Doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it, and he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? You think God isn't aware of it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? In other words, God does the correcting. And when you see somebody slip and you see them fall, you want to know who it is you're helping, who you're praying for. You pray for those that need prayer, that are have the zeal to do what's right, not to do what's wrong. You don't assist somebody in doing something wrong or lend your strength and powers to it. Why? Because God's correcting them. You'll get in the way of God. You'll become an enabler. Be very careful, my friend. Verse 13, my son, eat thou thy honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste, to the palate of the very mouth itself. It tastes so good. Verse 14, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. It's always sweet. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Some people give up so easy. They get discouraged so easy. Why? They have no strength. That means maybe you need to check out your faith. We're not playing church. Father's on the throne. He's there to help you when you call upon Him and when you have the zeal to do what is good. Then follow Him. Verse 15, lay not wait. Don't plan bad stuff and lay in wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. Why? God could be down on their head. Plus, you have the strength and the knowledge to know how to take care of yourself and your family. 16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. You know, we're going to be going to the sixth proverb in a moment, and we won't be covering the six things that God hates and seven an abomination. You can fall through those things, and if you're a righteous man, God will always pick you up. There's nothing going to take you down. God's work must be done, and God's work will be done. God sees to that. Have the zeal to do what is good. And God is always going to help you get up. So don't get discouraged if you trip once. If you slide a little bit, you consider how it happened, put your plan together with much prayer and get them. Okay. Go for it. Do what's right. Have the zeal to do good. And God will strengthen you every time. But what happens when a wicked falls? He falls into mischief. You don't want to go there. Verse 17, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. Why? God's correcting him. Or maybe God will correct him if he listens. 18, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. In other words, God's trying to correct him, and you step right in the blowtorch. You know, so many people do that, and they do it in ignorance, I guess. But you have to know when to let God be God. You have to know when to let go and let God. And draw your strength from Him. When you have the zeal to do what's right, and you do that right, then God will always protect you. But don't get in the way of God when He's correcting someone. You know the difference. Verse 18, lest the Lord see it, it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. 19, fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious, there's our word again, that means zealous, be not zealous at the wicked. Don't have zeal to do what they do, but have zeal to do what is good. And then God, you have God's attention. And He will strengthen you. God knows how to take care of business. The question is, do you? You draw your strength from Him, and He uses you. Verse 20 to complete here. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. Gone. You don't want to go there. Now, turn with me to chapter 4 in this same book of Proverbs. How gracious God is to us when we stay out of His way and yet at the same time draw strength from Him and do His work, but know what His work is. Well, how can I figure that out? From God's Word. It's really quite simple. He lays things out utilizing common sense. Well, how do I get common sense? Well, I don't know. Let's read chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, ye children, the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. That means to have judgment, good judgment, discernment. Know how to discern, especially how to spiritually discern. Verse 2, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. I'm giving you the truth. You stay with it. Don't you shirk from it. Don't pull away from it. Absorb it. Verse 3, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Verse 4, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. That means your mind. Hold it. Keep my commandments and live. Live eternally. It's that simple to follow His instructions. Five, get wisdom. That is to say, get learning, understanding. Get understanding, which again means discernment. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. In other words, don't ever decline from Father's word. Why? He's got your best interest at heart. Why? He loves you. And He loves for you to be blessed. He always corrects the wicked. Be sure you know what you're doing when you assist, and make sure you're doing God's work when you do assist a wicked one. Verse 6, forsake her not. You cling to the truth, and she shall preserve thee. I mean, she'll give you eternal life. It's a precious commodity, my friends. Cling to her. Hold her near you. Love her, and she shall keep thee. That's your Father's promise, and He does not make idle promises. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, get discernment. And with all thy getting, get understanding, which is to say common sense again. Be one that can stick to it. What? Why? Because you believe. And when you believe, God blesses. 8, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. You'll always get ahead if you'll do that. If you have zeal to do what is good, in God's eyes, He will strengthen you to the point you will get ahead. Verse 9, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. She always brings that results. That crown, incidentally, is eternal. Verse 10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. That's a promise of longevity, is to work in the truth, to find health and understanding, to bring forth and to serve the living God. Verse 11 to complete. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. You can't go wrong on that, and how precious it is. I'm going to go a couple more verses. When thou goest, thy step shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. When you have the zeal to do what's right, God will strengthen you. You will get it done. Well, what are we talking about here? Is me getting ahead in this world? In this world, no, getting ahead in furthering God's work, in being a servant of the living God, in attaining eternal salvation, whereby you are a blessing to all you come in contact with. That's how you get ahead. Verse 11, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. She is thy eternal life, quite frankly. How precious the word of God. Now, skip right on to the 6th chapter of this same book. Our Father has a way of teaching that makes things so ever easy. Proverbs chapter 6. Let's pick it up with verse 6. You want to know how to get it done? Well, I get confused sometimes. Well, this is how you get it done. It's this simple. Verse 6. Go to the aunt. I'm not talking about your earthly aunt here. I'm talking about a little aunt out here on the ground, all right? Thou sluggard, you lazy person, take a look at the aunt. Consider her ways and be wise. All you got to do is watch her. Okay. You want to know what God wants you to do? Watch her. It's that simple. Which, having no guide, that means she's got no leader, no overseer, there's no foreman, or ruler, there's no chief. There she is, all by herself. 8, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. She stores away all through the summer what she's going to need for the whole year without any big interference, any help from the government, no help from anybody else. The ant gets it done. It's that simple. Verse 9, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? You lazy person, how long are you going to spiritually stay asleep? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? When are you going to wake up? 10, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Let's kick it down the road. What do you say? Let's put it off till tomorrow. Let's let somebody else do it. What do we care? We get ours, don't we? I mean, lay it on them. That's not the way the ant does it. What would happen to her if she did? She would starve come winter. Okay. She would have nothing, nada. Verse 11. So shall thy poverty, your need, come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. It's perverse. He never says anything wise. You know, we're not going there, but if we were to continue on, in verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate. Let's just cover them, okay? Because we said, if a righteous man falls six times, he's going to get up. Why? Because he's not going to participate in this. Seven are an abomination unto him. You put all six of them together and they make the seventh. And he'll throw you out. Okay. It's an abomination. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to run to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. There you got it. God hates those things. You participate in them and then wonder why he doesn't bless you? Wake up and look at the ant. It's that simple. She doesn't have somebody telling her what to do at every move. She does what is natural. And that's what you should do. Do what is natural and obey your Heavenly Father. Draw your strength from Him and be blessed. Now, let's go to the New Testament. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 3, where we're going to go to. We pick this up in verse 8, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind. How do you do that? In God's Word. Have compassion one for another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. That means to be kind. Be courteous. You can always spot one of God's elect because they have compassion. Verse 9. Not rendering evil for evil. Have zeal to do what's good. Okay. Or riling or for riling, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called. What are we called for? Blessings. Did you know that? Are you getting yours? Are you being blessed? Think about it. Blessings, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. And you should. When you do it God's way, He's going to bless you. If you're not receiving blessings, you need to get back in the Word. You need to give it some heavy thought. You need to know what it is you're doing that's blocking the blessings, getting in God's way, whereby He does not wish to bless you. Verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Always do what's right. And his lips that they speak no guile. In other words, guile won't help you. Guile is is from your tongue, sweet words from God cannot come with guile. 11, let him eschew evil, you avoid it, and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. You search for it. You have to work at it. That's what ensue it means. To ensue means to work at it. It takes a little effort. Well, you don't understand, brother. I'm a Christian and I want it all just to fall in my lap. It does not work that way. Why? Well, that'd be a sluggard. And what did we just read? God hates a sluggard. You've got to work at it. Verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Did it say they're over the unrighteous? No, it did not say that. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Don't ever forget that verse. If you're doing what's right, God loves you. He hears your prayers. And he will answer them for what is best for you. Where he wants you. What your destiny is. What your purpose is. To stand against evil. And so it is. And when you do what's right, he will hear you. What does that mean then if I'm doing bad? He's not going to hear you. He doesn't want to hear you when you're doing bad. When you choose to do evil, forget it. You're cutting yourself off. There is no future in that. Therefore, let him love you by doing what is good. Have the zeal to do what's good. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were all perfect and we never made a mistake? Well, we're not. And we do. But that's why he said, well, if you fall seven times, repent, get up, and let's get going here. Let's get it right. Don't ever let me hear you say, God doesn't hear my prayers, or I will take you to this verse. Because if you're doing what's right, God will hear your prayers. Verse 13, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? And how simple that is. Remember the ant? That's the way she goes. That's by her rules. It should be yours also. When you do what's good, he always blesses you. 14, but, and if you suffer for righteous sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Well, why shouldn't I be afraid of it? Have faith. He's watching. He hears you. He just got through saying it. If you're in trouble, they're about to get it. Okay? He's watching. Do you have the faith to believe that? It is true. God takes care of business when you take care of his business. So if you suffer a little bit for doing what is right, don't worry. He'll even the score. You don't have to. That's why God says, vengeance belongeth to me. He knows how to take care of business. That's not to say you're to be a wimp and let people run over you. You don't do that. But when there are things you can't handle, he can. And don't be terrified. No, he's going to. And as long as you use common sense and use that wisdom, he will see that you're in good shape. Verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That's to say, you keep him in your mind. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Do you know what hope and change is? Hope and change is to do what's right, to serve God, to protect your religious freedom. Don't ever let anyone take it away from you. That our Constitution based number one, freedom of religion, freedom of speech. When that is threatened, the whole Constitution is threatened. We don't let anyone threaten any part of it without standing up when you have the zeal to do what is right. Father knows. Father knows how to take care of business. Never panic, and don't ever let them see you sweat on your first cruise, okay? God is watching. Verse 16, having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, They may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. God will always even the score. You don't have to worry about it. One more verse. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Well, how could that be? If you suffer for well-doing, he's going to overbless you. Take it from me. I know he will do it. And when you follow him, and don't play games. We don't play church. It's real. And when you have faith in him and trust him, then he will always see that you are there to carry forth that good word that others can hear and be helped by that truth. Have a zeal to do what is good, and God will always take care of you. Now, we're going to go to the last place for this lecture. Right before the great book of Hebrews, there's a little short book called Titus. Right before the big book of Hebrews in the New Testament, little short one called, I'm sorry, we got Philemon in between there. Let me correct that. Okay. Just before Philemon and then Hebrews, you got Titus, which means what? Protected. That's what the word Titus, that's what his name means, is protected. And so it is when you follow the living God. He protects you. And there is some great advice here in this second chapter of this great book of Titus. Pick it up with verse 11, if you would. You have the plan of God here for those that do what is good, that have the zeal to do what is right. Verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. It's available to whomsoever will. That means to the unrighteous, to the righteous, if they repent, it's open for everyone that wishes to try. 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Even today in the flesh, we should live as best we can. Okay. Doing the best. We're not perfect. Don't ever set yourself up. If you think you're perfect, you're probably getting a little self-righteousness in there. And I guarantee you that can fall hard. But when you do your best, when you love him, and you ask him for help when you need it, don't be bashful. Talk to him. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope, that's the real hope, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's going to happen. How are you going to be doing when that happens? Which side of the gulf are you going to be on? Is he going to say, good, safe, faithful servant, well done? I'm sure he is, as one of God's elect. Verse 14, who gave himself, I want to repeat that, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Does that mean what it says? It means exactly that. Not some sin, not part of the sin, all sin. And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Zeal to do what is good. Oh, how that pleases our Heavenly Father. Especially at this time, you never want to overlook that. That peculiar people, naturally, are God's election that will stand against the false Messiah in these end times. They have a destiny. They have a purpose. Because they have the zeal to do what is right. A peculiar people, peculiar maybe to the world, but not to God. For they're the children of God that love his word and that wants to follow him, that wish to do what is right. Verse 15. These things speak. You teach these things. And exhort. That means you explain them and expound upon them. And rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And you shouldn't. You're a child of God. Act like it. You're special. Use the power that He gives you and the strength, which is truth, the Word of God, to bring that truth forward, to cut a path. Do you understand how easy it is to cut that path because it's already cut for you? You just follow in Christ's wake. And that's a nautical term, all right? Meaning if you were a sailor, you'd know what I mean. Okay? Follow in His path, I'll put it that way. And you'll always be blessed. Always strive to do what is good. It's so easy to pass things off and to let people get away with stuff. Oh, well, we'll take care of it tomorrow. No, we'll take care of it today. We will make a stand today for Christ. And when these people come along and try to change the fact that you have religious freedom, they're going to hit a stump. And that stump is going to be the children of the living God. Because we have the zeal to do good. And it is His Word that lets us know a protector of life, a protector of the living, eternal life. That's what God's disciples are that follow Him. Oh, hey, they can stumble 6 times. He'll always lift you up. Don't ever despair. You know, and He said also, they're going to say bad things about you. You know, it is amazing, as many bad things as is said about me, we're the largest, most popular single church in the world, that we have more membership than any other. But why? Because, well, what do you all teach? God's Word, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. And you know something strange? There are never any secret meetings. It's always on television. Wide open to the world. And yet, some people can't stand the truth. It just lets you know why you should have the zeal to do what is good and be pleasing to your Father. Expect a blessing. You're going to receive it. Heavenly Father, thank You, Father, for the Word, Father. We love You, Father, and lead, guide, assist, Father, in the glory of these blessings that come upon these. Let them be a blessing to all they come in contact with. In Yeshua, Jesus' precious name, amen.
Mark of the Beast on CD.